Hello, and welcome to Create a Way with Art Bundance. I'm your host, Wendy Fadan, and today we'll be talking with Holly Bargo.
So, Holly Bargo has over 30 years of experience in professional writing, editing, and document formatting. Her work encompasses fiction and nonfiction and spans diverse topics and genres and document types. She's been published by Newsweek, Hearst Newspapers, and various other media. She also ghostwrites for other authors. As an indie author, Holly writes and publishes romance, fantasy, and westerns. Her romance novels span several subgenres, and because she detests cliffhangers, every book in each of her series can be read as a complete story in itself. Awesome. I'm so happy to have you, Holly.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So I'm before we get into your books, I'd like to ask you about how you broke into the field of writing for digital media, because I was on your website and I saw a huge list of bylines that you've published. I was wondering, is that a lucrative business or do you do it more for enjoyment or and exposure? Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Well, when you talk about writing for digital media, it's kind of goes into two ways. One, writing for clients, and or two, writing my own stuff. Writing for clients is basically an offshoot of 25 plus years of corporate work. I wrote in corporate roles and marketing and what have you. And I'm good at it. But, you know, without being boastful, it's what I do. So I just kind of continued that as a business on my own. And that started in January of 2016 when I went freelance.
Wow. Wow.
I also edit professionally.
Okay.
So if you most of my business now is editing rather than writing. So, and that's how I make my living.
Okay. Awesome.
The indie author stuff is, basically it occurs because if I don't write, my head will explode.
Yeah. Let's get into that then. I'd like to hear the journey that brought you into novel writing.
Okay. I started writing my own stories as soon as I learned the alphabet. Basically, that simple.
Yeah.
I wrote stories way back in 1994, that time. I had several unpublished manuscripts under my belt, went to a vanity publisher that didn't present itself as a vanity publisher, and was suckered. I've made the mistakes. So, you know, I had the book published. Looking back on it, it's horrible. It's terrible. It's not very good. It should never have seen the light of day.
We all have those, don't we?
We all have those. But, you know, it was just one of those things that I write stories. That's, you know, that was just what I did. And it wasn't taken seriously by anyone besides myself. Mm-hmm. And, eventually I got married. The children came along, life took precedence, and I had a long hiatus from writing. I got back to it in the early 2000s. And, spent 4 years working on a book, which was then published, self-published. Mm-hmm. And that sort of kind of got me jump-started back into, you know, producing my own stories again. And I kept up a pretty steady pace, 4-5 novels a year.
Wow.
And as well as, you know, writing for other people, writing for work, what have you. And then in January 2021, one of my children passed away, and that kind of put the kibosh on writing for a while. And about a year later, the creativity started bubbling back, and I'd learned by this time not to force it. Okay. So I just wrote when I felt like it. I didn't push it. I didn't force it, you know, and that, I guess, sort of nurtured that flame. And I was able to finish a book for the first time in a year and a half.
Wow.
So I've got a new book coming out this year, you know, this summer.
Wow. Can we hear what the title is?
The title is Night of the Twin Moons. And it'll be a continuation of my Twin Moons saga, which is currently a trilogy. Okay. I've never been what one would call a disciplined writer when it comes to my own stuff. I'm a diehard pantser. I don't plot anything. I don't write outlines. I come up with an idea. And usually it's sort of just a scene, sort of the scene that plays out in my mind, and I mentally play with it. And if it's a scene that sticks, basically just keeps running through my mind, I build on it, delete from it, you know, whatever. It's like probably a pretty good idea. And yeah. then I write it down. And the thing is, that scene that is I'm starting with may be somewhere in the middle of the story, and I have to put a bunch in front or I have to put a bunch after it, but that part is really fluid. I don't have an organized way to do this. By the time I finish a story, it all works out. I don't know how it works out. I've had you know, some editors saying, I can't believe that, you know, the story arc you've gotten, you know, and they you know, and they've given me, you know, a few theories as to, you know, how I plotted it out. So yeah, no, not at all. It just kind of goes, it flows from me. So I am, it's not a disciplined way of doing it. The funny thing is, though, when I ghostwrite for other people, I'm very disciplined about it.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Because, you know, I can't read their minds. So I know what's in mine, you know, but I don't know what's in anyone else's.
Yeah, and you mentioned before that you would turn out four books in a year in some cases. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, I'm just making sure I remember correctly. That's amazing to me. So, is that something you feel you'll continue in the future? Do you want to do more of just writing for yourself?
I want to do more writing for myself, but once again, my headspace really isn't quite there yet.
Okay.
You know, it's been we're still grieving.
Yeah. Sounds like this new process of just kind of going with the flow is a good good time for you.
It's kind of cathartic. You know, what I you know, the latest story, I mean, it's not maudlin or anything like that, but it's a little gentler than my previous books.
Interesting.
So yeah. And I mean, it's what I need. And if it's a good story, then I, you know, why not share it?
Yeah, that's something I was curious about too, is how your experience has influenced this latest book, and what has seeped into, you know, the pages.
the female protagonist, you know, my heroine in the latest book, is a bereaved parent.
Okay.
So in her, um, in, her story, that's more or less where the similarities end, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
She does experience birth, and her story begins 2 years after her son's death.
Okay.
So there's a little distance there, a little time doesn't really heal, it kind of scars.
That's a good point. I love that statement. Yeah.
So she doesn't think about her son every minute of every day. Mm-hmm. But she does experience small bursts of grief periodically.
Yeah.
And I think about my son frequently throughout the day, but I'm no longer at the point where I cry every day. So she's a little further in her journey than I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I've taken the progress that I've made and sort of extended it into her journey.
Wow. Yeah. When I had a similar kind of experience when I lost my dad, about 5 years ago, I think it was now, I used a book to help go through the grieving process for me, because for my dad, there was no, per his wishes, there was no funeral, there was no memorial service, and therefore there was no closure for me. You know, he lived down in North Carolina. I didn't see him as often as I wanted to. So there was that too. So, it is, I think we're such lucky people in that way, to have that creative outlet to express what our souls need to, you know, to heal a little bit, or, you know, hasten the scarring process, maybe, you know. So I know that it was very, it did help for me. I wasn't sure what it would do, but I knew I needed to do it.
Right.
And yeah.
And the one thing that, at least when I write, I can make sure that we get a happy ending. You know, and yeah. I think, as life doesn't really get easier. I think we need to believe that it's still possible to have that happy ending.
Yeah. 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 That's, I smile when I think about what I did with my book. One of the characters ended up embracing her deceased father, like literally, because it's a ghost story. So, okay. So there was that, you know, I literally got to, you know, enjoy that vicariously through my character, you know, yeah. Have that moment of closure that I wanted to have. Let me move into a little bit about Hen House Publishing.
Well, Hen House Publishing happened before I ever had chickens.
I was wondering where the hen house came from. Yeah, I think, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, the hen house was basically, you know, started off, I used to joke that I write chick lit.
Ah,
and chicks are hens. You know, and I am the keeper of the hen house.
That's great.
So that's where that came from. It's just a weird, convoluted sort of, you know, rationale that ran through my head, and, you know, it tickled my fancy, so I went with it.
That's great.
But yeah, I offer ghostwriting, or I can write under my byline. I've done that for clients too, mm-hmm. Basically for some blogs and what have you. Okay. And I have I edit. So I edit everything from website copy to brochures to blogs to full-length manuscripts.
Okay.
Just kind of runs the gamut. I really, really like fiction editing.
Oh.
I really enjoy editing stories, but I also edit a lot of nonfiction work.
Okay.
One of my steady clients is a sort of a value management type of consultant, a variety creation consulting firm. And I ate up their blog.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Huh. And for as far as you say you love editing fiction, is there a certain genre that you prefer in fiction to edit, or do you just kind of get into all of them?
I avoid horror.
Ah, okay.
So do not like horror at all. With it, stuff like that preys on my mind, gives me nightmares. So it's like, if someone says, yeah, I've got this horror manuscript, and it's like, yeah, no thanks. That's not a condemnation of its, you know, of poor quality or anything like that. It's just a genre that I'm not comfortable with.
Because when you read, it does tend to seep into you. When you read something, it kind of becomes a part of you for a while. And if you're sensitive to that kind of subject matter, then I can totally understand that.
But one of the last manuscripts I edited was a memoir.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it's all pretty much interesting. I like to see the different wordplay that different authors come up with, how they the way they use maybe the same tropes that I use, or the new twists on ideas that I thought, huh, well, that's interesting, you know. So yeah, it's just really interesting. Uh-huh. And you know, I'm an avid reader, so I serve as reader as well as editor when I'm editing.
Yeah,
that way I get a little extra reading in.
That's true. So let's see, this actually leads me to a question I'm thinking about now with okay, I have trouble editing my own work.
You should.
With you as an editor, do you have other people edit your work, or do
Absolutely.
You do? Okay. Even as a professional editor, I was curious about that.
Right. Early in my authorial career, I thought, well, I edit professionally, I can do my own work. Yeah, no, wrong. Once again, I've made those mistakes. I know better now. I don't recommend it. Any editor or any author edit or rely on himself or herself as one's own editor. Hmm. Okay. Yes, self-edit, by all means, do it. You know, fix your manuscript as best as you possibly can, then hand it off to a professional editor.
Amen.
Okay. Your editor doesn't want to see a first draft. Really, really. We don't.
Be messy, I'm sure.
it is messy, and it is not a good way to get the best value out of your editor.
Ah.
Okay. The things that you can correct, you should correct, so you get better value from the money you're paying your editor, which is to tackle the deeper issues that you don't see because you're too close to the manuscript.
Yeah. So handle as many typos as you possibly can before you give it to the editor, grammar issues, that kind of thing, as much as you possibly can.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not only that, but if your editor knows that you're turning in a really clean manuscript, your editor was probably going to give you a lower rate. Mm. It'll save you money. Spend a little time on your end and it'll save you a little bit of money. You know, because because then your manuscript might only need, you know, two rounds of editing as opposed to five.
That's right. Time is money.
Absolutely.
And when you're paying someone, time is your money. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Professional editing is not cheap, and it shouldn't be.
As far as ghostwriting and writing for yourself, what are the differences that you find when it comes to the writing process in other ways? Or is there a difference other than the time?
There's a bit of a difference. Generally, I do, when I ghostwrite, it's not just completely out of my head, you know, because I'm working with someone else's idea. And the different ghostwriting projects I've had, they've kind of gone basically one of three ways. The first way is the author has a very detailed outline, detailed character descriptions. Mm-hmm. And I work with those to build the story.
Okay.
The other way is the author will have, excuse me, the author will have an extremely rough draft. You know, like, hey, I just jotted down some notes. This is kind of what I want to go on. Make something of it. And okay. So I build from that. I expand on it. I add character development and depth and what have you. And that would be the second way. And the third way is a screenplay to novel adaptation. And those are a lot of fun.
Oh, really?
Yes. Those are a lot of fun. because the dialogue for the most part is already there.
Okay.
You know, it's a script.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, have you ever gone the flip side, like from novel to screenplay? Have you done that yet?
No, I have not. Not sure I want to.
Okay. I'm sure that would be a much different process.
It is a different process, and it is a different skill. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure I have the script writing skill.
Hmm.
Yeah. And it's also actually a very different format.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So, but with the screenplay to novel adaptation, the dialogue's there. I can follow the story through the dialogue. And then I add detail. I add world building. I add character development. I add action. You know, description, things like that. I get to add all that stuff and really make it come alive.
Okay. How did you get into ghostwriting in the first place? I'm curious about that.
I applied.
Oh, okay. Well, was it like an ad somewhere, or like an Indeed.com kind of thing, or what, how did you find out about it?
Well, my first ghostwriting happened, I guess, my first freelance ghostwriting occurred is I went on Fiverr and signed up as a vendor.
Oh, okay.
Bid on a project and got it.
Huh.
Because I was beginning as a freelancer, I wasn't sure of setting my rates, and I terribly undercut myself.
Okay.
Which is why I got the project. And then I found other platforms that where people advertise their, you know, wanting to hire freelance writers. You know, I did text broker for a short while, very short while.
Okay.
And I did a few others. I managed to acquire some good clients from there. You know, from the different platforms, and I wrote for them.
Okay.
And that led to recommendations to other clients, some of whom hired me, some of whom I've never heard from. But I still go on several platforms a day to say, who's looking for a writer? Is this the kind of work I want to do? Is this the kind of topic that I feel comfortable writing about? And then I bid, you know, I submit my proposal. Sometimes I get a call back. Most times I don't, because it's basically a numbers game. It's like direct marketing for me. You know, if I get, you know, if I can keep myself busy, we're doing well.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I also have, you know, a couple of clients who come from previous coworkers. One of my former coworkers went into business for herself, managing associations, and she hired me to write the newsletters for two of those associations. Mm. So far, you know, it's a it's a good relationship. It works out, you know. And I don't see it ending anytime, you know, right away. So
that's cool. That's cool. Oh, let's see. I forgot what my next question was going to be, but yeah. What's the usual timeline that you're given as a ghostwriter? I guess I know it depends on what the project is, you know, whether or not it's, whether it's a blog thing, or if it's a novel. Curious about the novel, like how long are you normally given to ghostwrite a novel?
I don't set dates.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Oh. Learned.
Okay.
Learn through experience. Okay.
Okay.
When it comes to a large project like a novel, I don't set a completion date.
All right.
Because life happens.
Yes. You know,
life happens. Bad things happen. You get sick, whatever. Yes. You go on vacation. You know, I don't promise a certain number of words per week. I don't promise, you know, that we're going to complete by a certain date. I can say we have a target date that we want to get, you know, that we want to finish by.
Okay.
But that's not set in stone.
All right. Okay.
I have a client, we're wrapping up her project we'll be wrapping that up soon. I've been working on it for 3 years.
Okay. I believe
Wow. It started off as a young adult novel, and it's turned into a trilogy.
Wow.
So, and you know, she's really happy with it. It's been a wonderful project to work on. I hope to work on another one with her. Mm-hmm. But once again, we didn't set a date. It was like, here's the story, and the story's going to take as long as it takes.
Okay.
Finish. And another piece of that is that I don't control the client.
Mm.
So my ghostwriting process is simple but messy. The client tells me, it's like, I want you to write this. Okay, I will write that.
Yeah.
And then I submit it to the client, say, hey, take a look, return your feedback to me. We may go through some revisions. We may not, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But how long it takes the client to review the draft and then return revisions to me, I do not control.
Hmm.
Yeah, So I remember I submitted early in one project, I submitted a chapter of a ghostwriting project to the client. She took 2 months to get back to me.
Yes, that's true. Okay.
You know, yeah, so
you can't control what they're going to do on their end. Exactly.
Exactly. So I don't set deadlines on large projects.
Okay. This has been an excellent conversation. I really appreciate all the interesting insight, the tips, and sharing your personal journey of what you've been going through and the new book that you've got coming out. Tell us again when you're planning on launching that book.
I'm hoping for a release by mid-July.
Mid-July, okay. All right, wonderful.
The manuscript's with the editor now.
Okay.
I'm in her queue. which means she's not editing it right now. It's just with her.
That's right. What in queue means, exactly. Oh boy.
No. So she'll edit it and it'll come back, you know, looking like her red pen hemorrhaged all over it. And that's typical. That really is typical. By the time I submit something, it's usually on its, you know, third, fourth, or even fifth draft. You know, I mean, I go through it several times.
Okay.
So it'll come back looking like, you know, it'll look like I sent her a rough draft with the red pen, but that's a good thing.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a good thing. And I've repeatedly told her, be candid. If something sucks, tell me. Seriously.
Yeah, true.
You know, if I missed the boat with, you know, in this scene, tell me. You know. I really appreciate candor in an editor.
Yeah.
I've met some writers who don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah, every writer is different for sure. I've learned as a professional artist,
to have a thick skin when it comes to criticism. So I'm kind of used to it. But yeah, writing for me is a little bit, I've had to learn that thick skin with my writing, because writing was more for my joy of it, for you know. So I've had to learn that. Like, I think a lot of writers need to toughen up, you know, it is difficult.
I had a client who hired me to give her manuscript a professional critique. And it was loaded with errors. One of the things, it was a murder mystery.
Okay.
And one of the things, you know, it's very gory. And I had to tell her, says, you know, blood stinks.
Oh yeah.
You need to mention this somewhere in the story that, you know, there's this carcass. It's like, you can smell it. Mm. You know, there's the awful, you know, you could smell that. Then she has, you know, the hero and the heroine, her story, you know, he's trying to impress her. So he goes out picking wildflowers and gives her a little bouquet of wildflowers, which is all very lovely and sweet, except it's, you know, the middle of January in Colorado with snow on the ground.
Oh, oops. Yeah.
And so I pointed that out, saying, doesn't happen. You know, this can't happen.
Yeah.
And she was, you know, so I pointed out, you know, all these flaws, and I said it was filled with flaws like that. And I pointed them out, and she was very angry with me.
Oh dear.
So it's like, okay, you asked for a manuscript critique. You got exactly what you wanted.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's not my problem that you don't like what I said. You know,
right.
I wasn't cruel. I wasn't criticizing you as a person, but your manuscript has some major issues.
Yeah. When you hire a professional editor, you hope to get a professional editor. And that's what a professional editor does, is they're professionals. You know, they will just tell you the way it is. You know, I'm sure every editor is a little bit differently. If they're used to working with very sensitive people, they might be a little like, okay, gentler maybe with their language or something to try not to crush the other person. But it's like, but yeah, that's a hard thing as a writer to get used to, for sure. And I'm actually that's one thing I'm actually working on developing myself, is a course on how to talk to an artist, how to talk to an art director, as a professional creative. If you're a non-creative, which editors, you know, typically are creative people too, and they know how to talk to other creatives, which is a good thing. But yeah, if you're a non-creative person and trying to give feedback to a creative person, you might not understand how sensitive they are. And, you know,
well, and that's one of the things, you know, if you're a creative person, you've got to ditch your sensitivity.
You do. You know,
you do. You have
if you're going to be a, yeah, if you're going to be a professional, and that's, yeah, that's something that's learned for sure.
You know, because the public isn't going to be as kind. Seriously,
exactly.
The public will not be kind. Mm-hmm. It's better to get your candor from an editor, you know, who may be a little bit blunt, but is at least just judging the work and is working in the best interests of that manuscript, than it will be to submit something that is just terrible, you know, releasing it to the public and having, you know, every Tom, Dick, and Harry commenting on how terrible this thing is and how you must suck as a writer. You know, keep it private.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's a fine line. I will admit, you know, that tact has never been my specialty. if something really is good, I'll put a margin of like, that was brilliant, you know. But you know, those don't come a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of it is, you know, this is not right. With, you know, I'm in my 50s. I've got quite a bit of life experience behind me. Mm-hmm. And that means I know a little bit about a whole lot of stuff.
That's true.
And having edited across many genres, I know a little bit more about a whole lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. Because I pick up on, you know, the things I edit, but you know, especially in the nonfiction. Mm-hmm. So there are things that I will catch that perhaps your average reader might not catch. I had a client and he wrote a fantasy. There were lots of horses in this fantasy, and he had his horses doing things that horses don't do.
Oh.
And I finally had to just write, it's like, Kyle, horses don't eat mushrooms. They don't.
Okay.
And it's kind of like, there are, you know, there are 9 million horse owners in the United States. Some of your readers are going to be horse owners and they're going to know this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, I've owned horses for most of my life. Some things I know, I don't have to go research this. I know this because I've lived it. Yeah. You know, I have that practical experience and I put that to work for my clients.
That's great. Yeah, that's a good point. When you're hiring an editor, it's more than just the words. It's more than just, you know, there's a lot going on that you really want your editor to be knowledgeable about. If you've got a good editor who has that life experience, it's very, very helpful, I'm sure.
Yeah, and, you know, and of course, you know, there will be some things that I'll miss. You know, someone, that blog I was telling you I write for, occasionally the writers they hire insert these complicated formulae into the blogs. I'm a mathematical idiot.
Okay, yeah.
I don't get, if that formula is wrong, I have no concept of whether or not it's wrong. Yeah. I don't get it. Mm-hmm. Does the text following it or preceding it sound good? That I can tell you.
Exactly. Oh boy. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm really glad that you're able to come on this show. Thank you so much, Holly. I really appreciate it. And let's see, can you tell our listeners where they can go to sign, is there some kind of email sign up newsletter that you have so they can keep track of when your next book comes out? Anything like that?
Yes. HollyBargoBooks.com is my author website.
Great.
I will be coming out with a newsletter probably in the next month or so. My publicist tells me that readers really like newsletters from authors. So it's like, okay, do it.
That's something I really need to work on. Yeah.
So right. You know, so I'll add that to the plate, you know.
Yeah.
To do.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was I'll be coming out with a newsletter in the next several weeks. And you can sign up for it through my website. Once again, HollyBargoBooks.com. If you want to hire me as an editor or as a writer, you go to henhousepublishing.com.
Great. So. I'm going to make sure I have both of those links down in the description below. So super.
Okay, great.
Awesome. Once again, Holly, thanks for coming on, and good luck with your launch coming up. And I look forward to talking to you again sometime. Wonderful.
Okay, great. Well, I appreciate the opportunity very much. I've enjoyed our conversation. My pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you, Holly.
Thank you.
For today's art assignment, let's explore the idea of criticism. As an editor and as a writer, this is something that Holly has to deal with on a regular basis. And I know this is something a lot of us artists have trouble with. Specifically, let's take a peek at our inner critics. I'd like you to take a moment to draw a sketch of your inner critic for today's art assignment. After you draw that quick sketch, personalize that inner critic a little bit. Add some fun details. Think about, what's your inner critic's favorite color? What is your inner critic's favorite food? What's your inner critic's favorite movie or music? What is your inner critic afraid of? I wonder what that would be. Have some fun with this and see what happens. So thanks so much for spending this time with me and Holly today, and I wish you the best with your creative journey, whatever that might be for you. Have a great day, and remember, even with your inner critic, you can always create a way.